You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. By now, many of you should have received your copy of this issue, number 8, of Veritas. Also, some of you are worried about your FM transmitters. We never anticipated the number of orders that we would receive for the FM transmitters, folks. And the factory is swamped. I talked to Kevin yesterday. He said that he just sent out 15 more, and they're back-ordered on some small parts, and they're assembling transmitters as quickly as they can, and they get them out as fast as they can. And those of you who have not received your transmitter as of yet will be receiving a letter from the manufacturer explaining what has happened and giving you some kind of an expectation of when you're going to receive it. But, folks, I got to tell you, for the price, it is worth the wait. It is a wonderful transmitter. It is well made. It doesn't drift off signal like so many more expensive ones do. And the cheapest that I know of that you can get for what they put out. And if you know of any less expensive, please let me know about it, because we'll always try to get you the best deal that we possibly can. Also, the NASA Moon America book, we got more orders for that book than anything that we have ever offered on this broadcast. In fact, we got more orders from that book, I think, than all of the things that we've ever offered on this broadcast combined, probably. And a lot of you didn't get your orders in on time, and we have pressured them into making a second printing, which is going on right now. And so we should be able to get those books out to you soon, but there's going to be a delay. Some of you should have already received your book. If not, you'll be getting it in the next couple of days. And we should be getting, I believe, if I understood Annie correctly, we should be getting 80 more books sometime before the end of this week, which we will send out immediately upon receipt. That also, ladies and gentlemen, is well worth the wait. But you've been, you've really been surprising us around here with the demand for some of the things that we've recently been offering. And that's good, because that shows that there are an awful lot of people out there who are paying attention, who are interested, who really care. And, of course, I've always known that about the steady listeners to this broadcast anyway. They are by far the most awake, educated, caring group of people that I've ever experienced in my life. Also, I hope you've noticed that we've done a little bit with the equipment here, and my voice should not be as muddy as it has been tonight, and I hope it stays that way. We're looking into fixing some of this stuff. This is the same equipment we started with 4 years ago, folks, and when you do a show 5 nights a week with the same equipment for 4 years, I got to tell you, things start to wear out. And it's not the best, nor is it professional equipment. It is what we could afford and what worked. So we're trying to do something about that also. What else did I want to talk about before I get into the meat of tonight's broadcast? We're going to take calls tonight, folks, but first I want to talk about something. I have, well, let me go back 2 years. 2 years ago, I said on this broadcast, and I've got the tape if you don't believe it, I said this Bosnian war is not going to end for a long time. And before it ends, the United States is going to send troops to Bosnia. I said it's not conjecture, it is a fact, it is going to happen. We will send troops to Bosnia because Bosnia is being orchestrated. It is to show the world that nationalism and tribalism and ethnic loyalty is bad. And it causes wars. And people kill each other over these things. And the reason that I knew it was orchestrated, ladies and gentlemen, because there's always been an embargo on weapons going in and out of that war. You see, the only weapons that they're supposed to have to fight with, and the only ammunition, and the only explosives, and the only equipment that they have, has to come from inside that country, according to the embargo. But, as you know, the war has not slowed down. They have suffered no shortages. There have been no shortages of ammunition, our arms, our equipment, our communications facilities, or anything else. So I knew from my experience with the intelligence community that I used to belong to, the Office of Naval Intelligence, that that's a staged war and that people are being sacrificed to help bring about the New World Order. Now, those engaged on the troop level don't know that, but the leaders do. And the arms and ammunition and equipment and supplies and food and all the things that they need to fight a war all this time has been given to them. It's not smuggled in. I mean, there's supposed to be an embargo. There's not supposed to be any arms or ammunition going in and out of that country from any place. And all of the countries around it are supposed to be participating. Now, even if they could get smugglers to run this gauntlet, this embargo blockade, so to speak, and get stuff in there, they could never have taken in the amount of arms and ammunition that have been used and expended, the amount of supplies and the food and everything else. It's coming from somewhere, ladies and gentlemen, and the reason it is being delivered is to maintain that war until the world says, enough, this nationalist baloney, this tribalism, this ethnicity has got to go. Patriots suck. That's what they want the world to say. And now we have a man in the White House who, when I was fighting in Vietnam, was in Moscow learning how to be a good little Marxist. He was smoking dope and demonstrating against our country in foreign countries. If he wanted to demonstrate against our policy, he should have been here doing it, not in foreign countries. And when he went to Moscow, ladies and gentlemen, it was a time when no Americans were allowed to go to Moscow. It was forbidden. Yet he went. He also dodged the draft. Dodged the draft. He wrote a letter condemning military service for anyone at any time, condemning the military, condemning the United States of America. This little Marxist is now sitting in the White House telling us that we have to send 20,000 of our young men and women to Bosnia as peacekeepers. And he tells us we're not sending them there to fight. We're not sending them there to engage in a war. And if that were to happen, we would pull them out. Now, that's the biggest bunch of hypocritical, double-talk, lying bullshit I've ever heard in my life. And tonight was supposed to be part three of our JFK series. And I just can't let this go by without comment. I want to know what you have to say about it. I'm going to take calls, and we're going to talk about this. I don't think you should get away with it. I don't think one American soldier, man or woman, should die in Bosnia in a war that's been raging for hundreds of years. Those people hate each other with such a deep passion that that war is never going to end until one or the other kills one or the other, and that's the only time it's going to end. We have no business there. We have no interest there. It is not our war, and I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what Mr. Marxist Clinton says to the nation. American soldiers will die in Bosnia. Whether it's a few or many, it doesn't make a bit of difference to me. It is a wasted life if even one soldier dies. A total waste. I cannot countenance such a thing. To sacrifice our young people on the altar of world government is the most despicable thing I've ever heard of in my life. Unless, of course, we could fully engage with a clear conscience and a cheerful heart in bringing that world government to pass. But since they're bringing about with lies and deception and deceit and destruction and murder, I don't know any American that wants it. And if we don't want it, no American should die in its behalf, especially in a petty little deception like this. Inexcusable. You can listen to his speech all you want to. You can play it over and over and over again. But what it means is Bill Clinton is sending our young people to war. Some of them are going to have to fight, maybe all of them, because the people in Bosnia have been fighting for at least 550 years that I'm aware of, and they're not going to stop just because we send 20,000 people over there. They're not going to stop if NATO sends an additional 40,000. And some of our people are going to get killed. They might get caught in the middle of a raging flare-up of the war and could be annihilated, for all I know. And you want a pot-smoking, draft-dodging, Marxist, little puke-faced pig in the White House commanding those men? I don't think so. Now, we don't want Nazi Crash Willie commanding them either. He lied about his father being a Nazi. And I'm going to tell you right now, there was never an SS officer ever in the history of the Third Reich who was not a Nazi and who was not thoroughly initiated into the secret religion of the SS before he could even accept any command or exercise a commission as an officer in the SS. He claims his father was never a Nazi, was never initiated into anything. He was just appointed an SS officer. And that's a lie. Bill Clinton is bringing on the drums. He's beating them. The drums of war. All of this is leading us farther and farther into world government. Initially, these troops were supposed to be under the United Nations flag, but thanks to Michael G. New and the Veritas headline article that we did on Michael G. New, they're now going to be placed under NATO. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill. It's Ken from Seattle, Washington.
Hello.
Hi, and I I think President Clinton is wrong in what he did since then voiced their death in Bosnia. What Lyndon Johnson did in Vietnam.
Well, I agree. Not only wrong, but I think it's stupid.
It's criminal. I mean, this man...
Also criminal, yes.
He should be removed from office. I mean...
He should have been removed from office a long time ago. But if you look at the polls, which nobody knows if the polls are legitimate or not. I've never known anybody in my life who was ever polled by anybody. Have you?
No, I haven't.
And then they have CNN polls. Well, who do they poll? Just people who listen to CNN?
Yeah, they poll certain people listen to CNN, and they...
Yeah, and I can tell you exactly how to get certain answers is to poll certain neighborhoods or certain states or certain areas. If you want specific liberal answers, you poll people in New York City. You'll get the liberal point of view every time.
Yeah, and that's all they air. They never air our point of view or any other point of view except the liberal one.
Well, I've never known anybody in my life that was ever even polled, so I doubt very seriously... if these polls, a lot of them even exist. I'm sure that some of them do, but I'm sure that simply by picking neighborhoods or phone numbers or people to poll in certain areas, you can, and by wording the questions in certain ways, you can pretty much ensure the outcome of the poll.
Yeah, and all President Clinton is doing is feathering his nest for, you know, to get to win the 96th election. I hope he doesn't. I mean, we can get something going in the Constitution Party. We can make a lot of inroads.
Well, I'll tell you something. I told you guys I knew who was going to win the next election. Remember that?
Yes.
And I told you I wasn't going to tell you who it was until I got one more piece of input.
Uh-huh.
Well, what I was waiting for was to see if Colin Powell was going to run or not and which party he was going to run on. And when he begged out, and he's a military man, he won't change his mind. I can assure you of that. I can now tell you, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that Bill Clinton is going to win the next election, if there is a next election, and serve another term as president. Hands down, I'm stating it right now, absolutely, there is no doubt whatsoever.
Boy, and then he'll serve another 4 years, and then...
That's right.
Who knows who will run after that, you know?
Well, after that, supposedly, they'll have their new world order, won't they?
Yeah. Well, that's really a shame, too.
And the election year began this month. The 1st of November, we sent 20,000 troops to the Middle East. Now we're going to send 20,000 troops to Bosnia. How many troops do we have in Haiti?
Quite a number. And we have, I don't know the exact figure.
You didn't know we had troops in Peru, did you?
No.
Yes, we do. Well, let me get somebody else on here. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Bill.
Yes, folks. The number 520-337-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
A little PO'd.
You and me both. I'm calling from Winnipeg, Canada. And our senators, a handful, went all across the country and heard from thousands and thousands of people no to gun registration. They up and down said they're not going to register guns, no. And the senator said, we're going to get amendments to the bill. And Alan Rock went and passed the bill anyways. What a beautiful country we live in.
Yeah, I just read all that about noon today. Also, same thing happened here. All of our Republican leadership said no to NAFTA. They're not going to let NAFTA pass. They're not going to let GATT pass. The telephone calls and letters were 1,000 to 1 against.
I don't really think they have much of a choice, though. Like, isn't this disarmament a global thing put in by the United Nations International Agreement of Global Disarmament?
Our Congress can negate those treaties anytime they want to. Any country can.
The thing I find interesting is I've been digging through the archives at the legislative building, and I cannot find one document anywhere that says that we are, Canada, is a member of the United Nations. Although there is a document that says, that was sent in July of 47, that says the United Nations is above all scrutiny, and they cannot be searched or seized, or no questions can be asked, and they can pass laws, and And no property can be seized, no one can be arrested or questioned, and but there's no law anywhere that I can find in our books anywhere here in Canada that says we are a member of the United Nations or NATO or any of them.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and I can't, the only thing I can find that we can be tied into the system is what's called the Bretton Woods Agreement, which I'm sure you're aware of.
Yes.
Which is the IMF, which
right.
Canada became a member of the IMF, which of course is a puppet group of the United Nations, but there's no document anywhere in the archives that I can see, whether it's order in council or whether it is actually a government statute that said we, Canada, are a member of the UN or NATO or any of them.
Why don't you contact your senators or your prime minister and ask them specifically what document it is that that makes it legal or how it was made legal that Canada is a member of the United Nations. See what they say.
I've tried to make a few contacts. Of course, I never get my phone calls returned, and probably the reason being is I made inquiries about our illegal and unconstitutional income tax system as well as our illegal and unconstitutional banking system, and I just get the same reply that, well, we've amended that, and it's legal, and you better pay it.
Well, they don't really care what anybody thinks anymore. They're so far along in their plans. They want their world government. They're not going to back down. All these people that think this is going to be solved easily or peacefully are, I think, they're deluding themselves.
Yeah, well, I think that's why there's the big rush here in Canada to get the guns registered, because it's obvious that registration equals confiscation.
Absolutely.
So once it gets registered, well, they've already done that. In fact, last year, in Kim Campbell's law passed in 92, actually, which sections of her bill was found to be illegal in an Alberta court, they registered a lot of the Bernelli-type shotguns. They were told you had to register them. They also received a letter last year saying by January 1st, 95, you turn them in. So people have already had guns confiscated. And when are people going to wake up and realize that this new world order is not going to go away?
I don't think they're going to wake up until somebody's beating down their door and slapping them around and raping their wife and sacking their house and hauling them away to prison camp. That's when I think they'll wake up.
There's actually a government document called the Emergency Planning Order in Canada that gives the government the right, passed overnight by one man, an order in council, that was introduced by the Marxist Trudeau in 1981, that gives them that right, the very right to censorship controls, to food production controls, to rationing, and to ship you off to a civilian internment camp. And I have a copy of that document, too, that people laugh at when I show it to them.
Well, let them laugh. You'll get the last laugh, and you'll be so upset and sad about it all, you won't be able to laugh. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Bill.
520-337-4578 is the number. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes.
Turn your radio off.
Oh, okay.
When you call in, folks, turn your radio off, please. I would really appreciate that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Evening, Bill.
Sorry about that big wait. Annie was in here making faces and talking to me, and I've got earphones on. I have no idea what she said, except it just threw me completely off here. What can I do for you?
Well, I just wanted to call and commiserate a little bit with somebody who feels the same way about Clinton that I feel. I feel like that the first American over there, if somebody's going to go, ought to be Bill, and he ought to take point.
I think he I think he gave up any right to go anywhere with any brave young men that fight for this country a long time ago. And I don't know anybody in the armed forces who would want him on point.
I agree.
He'd probably get everybody killed.
PDQ.
You know, you can smell marijuana quite a ways away.
That's true. You got to wonder about somebody who can screw up something as simple as smoking dope.
Really. I know a guy, by the way, who wrote me a letter and sent me a little news clipping. When Bill Clinton was a teenager, this guy was a younger kid, and him and a buddy of his had some BB guns, and Bill Clinton was sitting up in a tree smoking pot, you know, dressed up like the hippies dressed that back then. And they shot him in the butt with a BB gun. And he fell out of the tree and called the police on him. And there was a little newspaper article about it. So I thought that was kind of humorous.
Did little Janet Reno come to rescue him?
No, I don't know where Janet was down watching her mother wrestle alligators.
I suppose. I hope that everybody in the...
Which, by the way, is no slant on her mother. I would probably like a woman that could wrestle alligators, to tell you the truth.
That's sort of an old Seminole and Cherokee tradition, really.
Yeah, well, she forgot to teach Janet anything, I think. Anyway, thanks for calling.
Yes, Bill.
520-337-4578. What should we do about this? Should we start calling everybody in the world? Should we call every talk show in the world? Should we be writing and calling the White House? Should we write and call the Pentagon? What do you want to do about it? You're going to sit back and watch these kids go off and some of them never come back? And I'm going to tell you something. Oh, never mind. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Jim from Anaheim.
Hello.
I was talking with Anthony earlier this evening, and he was saying maybe Bill ought to do a couple more lines of coke and a couple more joints and come to his senses.
Yeah, you know, they deny all this stuff, but I'm going to tell you right now, most of the staff, most of Bill and Hillary's staff in the White House cannot get, never have had, and can never get security clearances because of their history with dope and legal problems with dope. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I'm aware of that. And you had on your program a while back, you talked about a document and where people could get it called Secret, all about the IPS. And
yes.
Murder of Richard Welch. And I remember that when I was in the service, 76, when he was murdered on Christmas Day in front of his family as a result of the efforts of IPS. And Hillary and Bill were supporters of IPS
right.
in later years.
Hillary, all her life, has been a great supporter, both financially and politically, of Marxist terrorist organizations.
And it turns out Derek Scherer, I understand, is, I believe, ambassador to Finland.
Yes.
And Trollbert Talbot, who is editor-at-large of Time Magazine and Clinton's roommate and buddy. It's all tied in with IPS.
Yeah.
That brother, I think, too.
Yeah, and that's a Marxist front organization.
Terrorist
organization, to tell you the truth. They've been responsible for some heinous things.
Exactly. And I was going to say you left out child molester as far as Bill Clinton goes.
Well, I don't know anything about that.
Well, according to an Arkansas law enforcement officer, one of those state investigators, a detective, he names the name of a young lady that was a cheerleader that now is a prostitute in Tahoe after Dan Lasseter and Bill Clinton had their way with her. And that's been pretty widely circulated, that information.
Hmm. What do you mean a cheerleader? Just high school cheerleader?
Cheerleader. 14
huh?
years old.
14 years old?
My book, that's child molester.
How old was Clinton?
He was a politician. He was running around having to his dope parties with Dan Lasseter and flying in the airplane. And
actually, that may not be child molestation in Arkansas. Can't you get married in Arkansas when you're 14 or 13 or something like that?
Well, you might have a point there. I there's a couple of states where it might be that young, and Arkansas might be one of them, but there aren't too many.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You might just be... I still kind of think that... I don't know. You got me on that one, but I think...
Well, I didn't mean to. I don't know either.
I think it just really raises a question. When you have a sworn law enforcement officer that stands up and says something's wrong here, and he was investigating it, you know, for quite a period of time, and he had all these facts, and it seemed like at the time nobody wanted to listen.
Uh-huh.
Do you know anything about H.R. 1530?
Which one is that?
In the appropriations bill. It's a bill to authorize appropriations fiscal year 96 for military activities, and it goes on to try to place limits on the United Nations, U.S. troops, what the president can do with U.S. troops under the United Nations.
And I may have it around here. It sounds familiar, but I can't remember what the specifics of it are.
Well, I guess my point
is... There's several bills trying to limit our participation in the United Nations, trying to pull us out of the United Nations, trying to limit what the president can do with our troops with the United Nations. One bill trying to say that our troops cannot be required to wear the United Nations uniform But that's really stupid when it doesn't say anything about them not being able to be under United Nations command.
Well, I think they went right to the heart of the matter in Veritas number 7, and it doesn't seem to be something that the Republicans have been willing to acknowledge. I've called all my congressmen in Orange County, and I've tried to get on every talk show that I can, and I have on a few, and gotten the word out that PDD 25 points to Title 22, Foreign Relations, Paragraph 287D, which I have a copy of, and held it in my hand, and then that points to the UN Charter, which I also have a copy of.
Well, it cites Article 43 as its authority, and Article 43 was never ratified or ever implemented by the United Nations or the United States.
I remember that coming up again and again, and I was too young for when that actually happened, but I remember reading the history of that, because when I was an adolescent, I started reading a lot of books on these kind of subjects that started pointing me in the right direction. And I remember the fact that not all of the United Nations Charter was ratified. And in fact, Senate report number 87 that was made available in the last conference at your research center, has some reference to, it's a little vague, but it's some reference to get on board with that. And I think it was you, wasn't it? Somebody had made the statement that Claiborne Pell has repeatedly said that Article 43 needs to be ratified because he recognizes that's an Achilles heel to this whole concept of putting UN troops.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. But you know what I think? They tried so many times to get it ratified, and it has always failed, that now they're going to ignore it and pretend that it was. And if you'll notice, every copy of the United Nations Charter that anybody can get their hands on has Article 43 in it as if it were ratified.
Sure does. Mine does. I got mine from the little United Nations store.
In fact, I went on CompuServe, the military forum, and uploaded our headline article from issue number 7. Some of the members read it, and I came under the most vicious attack you ever saw, called me a liar, said Article 43 was ratified. And that the United Nations is not unconstitutional, and there's not going to be a world, and you know, all this baloney. And they demanded proof. Well, I uploaded the proof twice to that forum. They refused to post it, and then they denied me for any further access to the forum. Can you believe that?
Oh, yeah, I can.
So don't tell me these things aren't controlled.
Well, Bill, it's great talking to you again, and hope to see you at the next conference. You know when you're going to have another conference?
No, not right now.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to it, and God bless you, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Good night.
Well, folks, get ready. Here comes the parade. Get your boys all dressed up in their uniforms and give them lots of hugs and kisses and send them off down Main Street because they're going off to die. Found out now what Annie wanted. Now she brought a big piece of paper with it written. Apparently I've been saying 337. It's not 337. I keep getting confused between the studio and the office. It's 333-4578. 520-333-4578 is the number. Write that down, and in future, if you hear me say 337, ignore it. Okay. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Yeah, good evening, Mr. Cooper. I just wanted to let you know that I really appreciate everything you do with your broadcast. This is the only show, seemingly the only show that I can tune in, turn on, and let my guard down and listen to it and know that I'm not being lied to.
Well, if you don't check, how do you know? I don't want you guys to believe in me. You know, the whole object of this broadcast is to bring you enough truth so that you'll go out and check on it and see that it's true and understand that most of the people that you've ever believed in your life have been lying to you. And that should teach you not to believe anybody, not me, not your mother, not anybody, unless you can check on it.
Oh.
That's so important because that's how we got to this position, is by believing people.
Yeah, I understand, and I probably should have prefaced a little bit. I didn't want to get off on a tangent or anything, but before I was turned on to shortwave and then eventually your show, I had studied the New World Order, and what I have come to learn through your show is the mysteries for about 2 or 2.5 years now. And I feel like that I got to where I could read between the lines, read the truth, read the hidden meanings without even trying. In other words, I thought from reading and listening, going no further than AM radio, that I was a 11th grader in a grade level until I tuned in to shortwave in your program and found out that I was knocked down to about a third grade level. And I'm really encouraged that there is more out there to learn. My biggest problem right now is getting direction, because there are so many aspects to all this garbage that direction is really difficult.
Just remember, don't get caught up in any little cul-de-sacs chasing all these little things that people want you to get all wrapped up in. It doesn't do any good to devote all your energies to something like the POW issue if you're just going to bring them home to be enslaved. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We've got to save this country first. If everybody goes off and gets involved in all Treasury Gate and this Schwarzenegger bullshit where they take $300 for everybody and you devote your life to building this big case where you're going to get $1 million back off this $300 thing, and somebody else is spending their life trying to save the POWs. In the meantime, the nation is sinking in a big pit of quicksand. And if you know anything about quicksand, once you've sunk so far, you can't ever get pulled out.
Well, about the pay your $300 and become a millionaire, I've got a kind of a funny story on that one. Several years ago, I drove a transport, an 18-wheeler. And I'm calling from Kansas, by the way. And I was running down a two-lane, lost an airline on my trailer, the brakes locked up, and there I was. Fellow pulled over, saw I was in a bad spot, offered to help me, and the first thing he said was, "This is your lucky day." Went on to tell me how he was going to make me a millionaire.
Was his name Hildebrand by any chance?
Oh, God, I've slept with him, and I gave him no more credibility than he deserved. I don't even know if I asked his name. I got what I needed from him. That was a ride to a payphone, and basically took his information and said thanks and left and thought to myself, there is no way in hell I'm paying anybody $300 with a story, a concoction like that. And there are a lot of people that go on the belief there's a sucker born every minute, and unfortunately,
they're right.
Patriots can be suckers too, and absolutely they're right. The instinct is a real helpful asset, and friends that sometimes guide you in the right way and say, well, wait a minute, back up. My wife sometimes is a tremendous help. But anyway, you had mentioned earlier that you felt like Bill Clinton was going to be our next president.
No, I know it.
Would you?
I don't believe it. I don't feel it. I know it.
Are you in a position to elaborate on that a little bit as far as why you believe that?
Well, let me ask you something.
Okay.
Bill Clinton is the president.
Right.
He's the incumbent. How many incumbents in the history of this country have ever lost an election?
As far as the statistics, I don't know, but just from what I saw of the way they worked the last election with Mr. Perot and his hopping in and hopping out, and the way they're confusing the Republican Party with all these different candidates, I think that that's a pretty good assumption that he's going to be our next president.
Well, there's definite reasons for it. Number one, only a few presidents in the history of the country have lost the election on their second term. Okay? So he already has the election in his favor because he is the sitting incumbent president. Number two, who's running against him on the Democratic ticket?
Nobody.
Nobody. That's right. So he has no competition within his own party. Now, what's happening in the conservative arena?
No direction.
No direction?
I believe.
How many people are running?
A bunch.
A whole bunch.
Yeah, we've got a bunch, and none of them worth a shit.
That's right. And what do you think Perot's party is going to do? They're going to field a candidate, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Cure is going to field a candidate, aren't they? The Republican Party is going to field a candidate, aren't they?
Yeah.
Then you're going to have some independent conservatives running, aren't you?
So you've got everybody.
And Collins is going to run, isn't he?
Uh-huh.
The conservative vote is so fractured already. Clinton has already won the election, hands down.
The incumbents are just a...
If Collins had thrown his hat in the race and said he was going to run on behalf of the Democratic Party, then I would have said that Colin Powell. If Colin Powell had thrown his hat in the race and said that he was going to run as a Democrat, then I would have said Colin Powell is going to be the next president.
I don't know who'd be worse, Powell or Clinton. Well,
Powell just declared himself a Republican, and he said he wasn't going to run. And he said he wasn't going to run not because he doesn't want to be president or couldn't be president. He's not going to run because he's a military man, and he understands how to look at the battlefield and determine what the tactics are and how the battle is going to be fought and what his odds are. He looked at Clinton running on the Democratic ticket with no opposition, looked at the fractured conservative forces, and he knew that if he ran for president on the Republican ticket, he wouldn't have a prayer in hell in winning.
That makes sense.
And that's the truth.
Did you see the summit, I guess, is what they call the summit? It was on, I believe it was Channel 13 or C-SPAN a couple of nights ago. It was called The Future of Warfare, and it was at the, I can't think of the name of the institute, like a school. There was Colin Powell on the panel, several other I don't want to say world leaders. They weren't world leaders, but officials from different countries. France was one.
Yeah, I watched that on C-SPAN.
Did you?
Yeah.
I was looking for some hidden truth in that, and I really didn't see a whole lot that...
Nobody said anything of any import.
Okay.
But Colin Powell stood out as appearing to be very sincere and I can tell you right now, if he ran for president, he would be very electable on the Democratic ticket, but not on the Republican.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, so you didn't see much.
He's a closet Democrat anyway. If you read everything that he believes in, he's a liberal. He's not a conservative.
Indeed. And the bootstraps that he had supposedly pulled himself up by weren't pulled on by him, I don't believe.
No, of course not.
Just from the things I've read. On Bosnia, I've got a couple of questions. As I mentioned earlier, there are so many things to...
Now, listen, I'm not saying that he could not have arisen through the ranks on his own. I just know that during that period of time, no black man rose up to that level without somebody else pulling him up.
Yeah. Did you read the article in New American? I can't think of the month, and I don't have the magazine handy.
No, but I've had you on too long. I got to get somebody else on here.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Bill.
Hello.
And anyway, I am quite taken aback at listening to this whole Bosnia thing because last night I am, and if I sound nervous and disjointed, I'm sorry. But I was listening to the flame thrower out of the Bay Area that blankets the West Coast. And if you listen to that station, they have some liberal talk show hosts on at nighttime.
What's that, KGO?
KGO, San Francisco. And anyway, it was quite interesting that the people that are liberal and democratic and all for Clinton are for this thing. Yet when it comes to the Vietnam War,
that's because they're for world government.
Yeah.
Vietnam wasn't about world government. It was about oil.
Well, it was about...
And heroin.
Yeah, well, as far as I was concerned, Vietnam was about Wall Street making stuff to blow up stuff so that the people in this country could be employed, so President Johnson can say, see, we have a great society where the defense industry is employing a bunch of Americans, and...
Well, that's not really true, because we didn't have a big unemployment problem back then.
Yeah.
We didn't have a big unemployment problem until Johnson established his great society.
Well, the reason I'm saying that is that after this, the Cold War died down, George Bush dismantled the aerospace out here in California, and our state has never quite recovered ever since. We're taking it in the shorts out here.
Well, that's because people sit back and cry over the job that they lost. I had people when the auto companies were having their problems, I had people call me up, a guy 32 years old. I'm too old to learn a new trade. Well, what did you do? Well, I was on the assembly line, and I've been on the assembly line all my life, and I learned that trade, and I'm a master auto assembler. And I made $16 an hour or something like that. I said, well, what exactly did you do? Well, he would wait until this door came by.
Oh.
And when the door came by, he would put in two bolts and tighten the nuts on the bolts. And I said, yeah, you're too old to get another job, and you were making $16 an hour for putting two bolts in a door when it came by. Uh-huh.
Well,
that's most people's attitude, and I'm sorry, I don't buy it. If you lose an industry in your town, get your brains together and create another industry for people to work.
Yeah, well, I was watching this economic thing here in L.A. back in 92, and there are businessmen getting together with Willie Brown and some of the big wigs in the legislature and the governor's office. And they were begging and pleading to please revamp the regulations, try to, you know, some of the choking bureaucratic red tape that, you know, is making it hard for businesses to thrive out here.
Well, if you play their game, yes.
And so that's why a lot of them are leaving and going to other states and other countries. And they smile and say that they can do it. They went back to the second round. They haven't done one damn thing.
No, and they're not going to. They don't want small business to succeed.
Well, that's kind of going against everything they were taught in school about the American dream. All kind of fall to
They don't believe in the American dream. They want world government under Marxism, and they have to eliminate the middle class to do that, and small business is middle class.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Well,
I got to let somebody else in here.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
520-337, excuse me, there I go again, 520-333-4578. And, bet somebody in Bosnia is going to be yelling, Yankee, go home. Good evening, you're on the air.
You got that right, Bill. Good evening, sir. You know, we're told that they're going to be under NATO command.
Yep.
So in CETO early arms of the U.S.
That's right.
Documentation of it, sir.
Yeah, we have it all. You know, the U.N. was actually formed in 1941 with the Atlantic Charter. NATO is just another extension of bringing nations together so that they'll get used to being in that situation.
Amen, Bill. Say, we created quite a brouhaha in North Dakota, sir. We're going to have the Constitution taught in the schools in North Dakota.
Fantastic. When did that happen?
Information coming to you, Bill. You'll get a kick out of it.
Good. I sure will.
Hey, I need some prayer warriors out there. I go into the Supreme Court the 14th of December at 2:45, friends. We're battling for our right to travel. And if the Supreme Court of North Dakota denies my motion, I'm going straight to the Supreme Court of the United States.
Wonderful.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing fine. You sound like you're doing... You sound like you're doing great. Sound like you've been taking some herbs or something.
Bill, I'm drinking out of that river of life, brother.
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, you're looking good.
Thank you.
You're going to make Wichita the 19th and 20th of February if America lasts that long?
Well, I don't know. I don't want... I'm looking out at what's happening to the conservative vote and to the vote of Americans who understand the Constitution, or at least profess that they do.
Only two presidential candidates have answered our questions.
Yeah, I know, but listen,
what would you do about the Federal Reserve Act, and what would you do about the War Emergency Powers Trading with the Enemy Act? Bill Graham didn't even know what I was talking about last Sunday night.
I know.
But two of them, Alan Keyes and Charlie Collins,
yeah,
are the only two that have answered my questions. Bob Dole couldn't. Pat Buchanan hasn't. Straight past the tool of the Rockefellers, friend.
Pat's Knights of Malta. Pat's one world government. Pat's a Nazi. Believe it.
Hey, brother, it's great talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you
Peace
for calling.
Your wife.
Okay.
Hallelujah, Bill.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello. Good evening, Bill. This is Tom from Indiana.
Hello, Tom.
On this Bosnian thing, I think there's two things that could stop it. You asked what could stop it. I think one would be the American people could wake up, which isn't life.
Yeah. I've been fighting that battle for too many years to even get caught up in that.
The other thing, I suppose, would be enough people from the militias around nation would kind of do a Linda Thompson-style march on Washington, and I really don't think that's going to happen either.
Well, let me ask you this. What kind of parents would send their kids off to die in a country that has nothing whatsoever to do with us, that's been fighting a war for over 550 years, they hate each other so much, nothing's going to stop them, and we know that some of our people are going to die. And they're going to die for nothing. And they're going to come back here, and that war's still going to be going on 200 years from today.
The parents would either have to be brain dead or fools. I mean, what else can you say about that? Fortunately, I don't have any children, and it's not a direct issue to me, but I'm pretty frustrated by it, and like I said, the two options, I don't see either one likely to happen at this time.
Well, I just hope everybody writes and calls everybody that they know, every senator, every representative, the White House, the Pentagon, and say no.
Yeah.
No, don't send our people over there to that stupid country for any reason.
Say, do you have an internet?
And I'll tell you quite frankly, and I'll take a lot of flack from a lot of people for this, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't give one hoot for Bosnia or anybody in it. I just flat don't care. They put themselves in that position. I'm not responsible for it, and I don't believe any American should die because they're so stupid that they've got to kill each other for 550 years.
Well, it's that and every other place that we've got troops in, like Haiti and the other countries that you mentioned earlier.
That's right, but somehow these Marxists think that we're responsible for the state that these people have put themselves in.
Yeah, well...
And that is the stupidest, most asinine, ludicrous thing I've ever heard in my life.
I don't think maybe that they really believe that, but that's the excuse that they're using to fool people with.
Well, if they don't believe it, they're the biggest straight-faced liars in the world, because they sure tell it like they believe it.
Don't you think that they're lying most of the time? I mean...
I think the leaders are. Of course they are. They don't give a damn for anything except their agenda.
Right.
And they go toward that agenda no matter what happens to anybody that's in the way. They don't care. But the people that have been brainwashed by the schools and by the politicians and by other people, just the average people like you and me that say that, yes, I think they really believe it.
Hmm. Well, it's hard for me to swallow. Yeah, at the lower levels, I'm sure they do. At the higher levels, I listened to Clinton's speech tonight, and I don't know that much about mind control and this NLP, but it sure sounded like it had a lot of the characteristics. He spoke in a very slow, monotone, all the characteristics of somebody who's trying to persuade through hypnotism almost.
Oh, somebody coached him.
Yeah.
And he was really struggling really hard to keep that snide little smile off his face. In fact, it's the first time I've ever seen him speak ever without that little sly smile there.
I didn't see the video. I only heard the audio.
Yeah, well, it's the first time he managed to keep that off. But you could see him struggling with it. It would try to creep in every now and then. He would
he would struggle to keep that that stern look, you know.
So here's my question for you. When do you think that enough people in this country are going to stand up and say stop?
I don't think they'll do it until the doors come crashing down. I don't think they'll do it until it's probably too late to do it.
Yeah, that's the sad.
That's what I think.
Yep.
And I think that there's some of us who are preparing, who are forming militias, who are getting ready, who are training, who are committed and willing to die for what we believe in, that will fight as long as we can.
Yeah. God can only, we can only hope that God will provide enough of us to survive through it, I suppose. Do you have an internet address on the internet, Bill?
Yeah, but if you think I'm going to give it out on the air, you're out of your mind.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I got enough mail to deal with as it is. I don't need any more.
Sorry, I asked. All right, well, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, folks, it's not that I wouldn't like to hear from you. It's just I'm overwhelmed with mail. Mail from the post office, mail in the computer, mail that drops out of the sky, mail that's left on the doorstep. I don't even know where it comes from, and I can't handle anymore. Unless some of you want to come and devote the rest of your life to working with me to handle the mail. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. This is Mike from San Jose. Do you know a guy from Total Research, Carl Kauf? He has a theory on the Kennedy assassination.
I've heard all the theories. What's his? Come on, spring it.
The first sound that went off was a firecracker. He said it was a bullet. And so he says Oswald did it all. And
he said Oswald did it all?
Yeah.
That's no theory. That's a puppet. That's a parrot.
Okay.
He's just parroting the Warren Report.
Well, he put out a book, and he was at the New Age Fair. I was snooping through.
Yeah, well, it's not true. Oswald was standing in the doorway the whole time. You know, it just blows my mind that the American people are so far gone that they can see Oswald standing in the doorway in a prominent photograph taken by a newspaper photographer, which was published in the newspapers. They can see him standing right there wearing the same shirt that he was wearing when he was arrested, when he was shot, in fact, even buttoned down to the same exact button, standing right in the front door of the book depository, watching the motorcade go by, and all of these deceivers who are masters at covering the whole thing up and confusing everybody, tell you that it's somebody named Lovelace that nobody in this world can ever find, and everybody believes it. I mean, this is beyond my understanding. It's like people have lost their brains, left them in bed. Did you get up this morning and leave your brain in bed? If you did, please go back and get it. You know, unlock your head and put it back in there where it belongs, and learn how to wire the nerve so that it works. That's very important. And we're out of time. This is what you're going to hear, ladies and gentlemen, in a lot of cities in this country if we send our young people to Bosnia. Good night, and God bless you all. And if you love your children, don't send them off to die in some godforsaken war that has nothing to do with us.